Okay, our daf today is Lamed Vav. We're going to start on Lamed Hem a bit. I'm going to go back a little bit into this machloket that we saw yesterday between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we have, if you look back about 18 lines from the bottom, we're just going to quickly review this. We rushed through it at the end yesterday, so I want to do it so we understand better. Tana Rabbanan, Ketzar Katvu Yisrael et HaTorah. So now the whole issue was they were crossing into the Yarden. Moshe said, when you cross into the Yarden, what you should do is you should take these avanim and you should write on them et kol divrei Torah, right? And then it said be'er hetev, which we learned meant they said it in 70. They wrote it in 70 languages. There was a bit of a discussion about what exactly. It's not clear what part of the Torah they wrote. Did they write the whole Torah or not? Today we're going to talk a little bit about some miracles that happened right out. This, what's interesting, we're going to see, is this whole thing happened in the span of a day, and it's hard to imagine that they were able to do all of this in a whole day, okay? Cross the Yarden, get to, right, do all these things. So we're going to see all the things they did on that day. So we talked about that there were the three sets of avanim, right? There were the avanim that Moshe had in Eretz Moab. Then there were the avanim that Yehoshua, right, the ones Yehoshua put in the Yarden, and then the ones they brought to Gilgal. Now it seems that the ones they brought to Gilgal were the ones they wrote the Torah on. The ones they took out of the yard to the Jordan, and then they wrote the Torah on there. So now there's this whole question, there's a problem with the order in the Psukim, about whether they, can you just pass the Tanakh for a second? About whether they first put the limestone on the rocks, and then wrote the Torah on it, or first wrote the Torah and then put the limestone on. Now if we have the limestone after, the whole problem was, well then how could anybody read what it said? So there were two approaches as to the order, okay? The order is, one of the options is based on the Pshat and the Psukim. The first it says, here we'll see in a second. Okay, if you look in Dvarim Kaf Zayin, it says, on the day, by the way, the Torah says, okay, Vayitzav Moshe v'Zignei Yisrael in Perek Kaf Zayin. The next Pasuk is Pasuk Be, Vaya Bayom Asher Tavur Tayardim, the day you get into the land, okay, Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha, Vakimota Lecha Vanim Gdolot Besadeta Otam Besid. Okay, and that's the first thing you're supposed to do is Lesid Otam Besid. And then, v'katavta lehem et divrei Torah zot. Okay, so let's see how the opinions work. Rabbi Yehuda omer, al gabei avanim katvua, shenemar v'katavta al avanim et kol divrei Torah zot, v'achar kach sadu otam b'seed. Okay, he says it was the opposite of the order it says in the Torah. Okay, the Torah said first do the seed and then write them. He says, no, no, no. Really, they did it after. Marla Rabbi Shimon, litvarecha he'ach lamdu umot shaloto azman Torah. The whole idea was that this was to be a sign for everyone to know that they have to learn Torah. So how could they have done that? Amar lo. So here's the first miracle of the day, right? Bina yitera natan b'makadosh baruch hu, v'shigru notirin shalahem, v'kilpu atasid, v'siyua. Okay, what did they do? God, like basically Hashem made a miracle happen. That he sent the sofrim of the non-Jews. They were able to peel away the seed that they put on it, the cover, take away, because once you do that, it's hard to see the letters underneath. Somehow they were able to miraculously take out the letters from here, and then they were able to take it with them, okay? Ve'al davar zeh, now if that's really the case, that this happened, that they were able to have this miracle happen, that they were able to get all the words of the Torah, then in theory they should have learned the Torah, right? Ve'al davar zeh, nitchatam gzari dinam lebe'er shachat, sha'ayah lehem lomo ve'lo lamdu, and that's what sealed their fate. Because now they had the Torah accessible to them, and yet they didn't learn it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, al gabei seed kitavua, they wrote it on top of the seed, meaning they did it in the order of the Torah. V'katvu lehen lemata, and they wrote in big words, you know, it sounds like, right, in big letters, leman asher lo yimaldu etchem la'asot kecho v'chule. Ha'lamadita she'im ayu chozrim b'tshuva hayu makablim otam. Okay, now what does he say? The whole idea was to say, so that you don't learn to do like the goyim, right? Which means that it was a sign to the goyim to say, time to be chozer b'tshuva. And if you're chozer b'tshuva, then we won't conquer you. Okay? I'm a Rabbi Barshila, my time at the Rabbi Shimon. Dichti v'hayu amim misrafot seed. So what's this? Al iske seed, meaning on what they saw that was on the seed, right? Because the other, and you could really translate this in both ways, but for some reason, right, iske seed, either which way it had to do with seed, whether the seed came off or the seed was on, right, and the letters were on the seed. So they mean on the things that were etched into the limestone, okay? That's why they were destroyed, because they didn't read the signs, right? It's, right, that's the phrase, where they read the signs, right? This is the signs. Rabbi Yehuda ki seed, it's seed, is meant metaphorically. Masid ein lo takana elasrefa, avotamakutim ein lahem takana elasrefa. So what do they mean here? Just like seed, the only way to make it work is to burn it, right? That's how it works. Just like that, the kutim, which really mean here the non-Jews living in the land, they had no takana elasrefa. In other words, that was the only way that they could, right? There was no way out for them. Keman az lahadatanya. So now, according to which opinion does this bride to go? Vishavita shivyo. Okay, this is an Eshet Yifat Toar. Okay, remember the Eshet Yifat Toar? When you go and you get it, you know, you conquer, you have a war, and you find this woman, you can basically go through this whole process if you want to marry her. So what does it say? Lirabot kenaanim shebechutz la'aretz. She'im chozrim b'tshuva mekablim otam. Now we have this concept that the Sheva Amim were not allowed to marry. The whole question now is, do the Sheva Amim mean only Kna'anim that were living in the land at the time? Or could it be Kna'anim that were living outside the land? Are they part of this whole thing about the Sheva Amim, or are they not part of it? So according to this opinion, what does it say? If they're Chozrim B'tshuva, then you can accept them. Okay, so who does this go like? Keman to Rabbi Shimon. This goes like Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon said that it said, Lamana Shalayim will do etchem lasot, right? What was the whole idea? She'im ayu chozrim b'tshuva mekablim otam. Now, who's this for? It must be the people outside the land, because we can't accept anyone from the Sheva Amim if they do tshuva. But according to him, if they do tshuva, and there are people who live from chutz la'aretz, Kenanim living outside the land, and they do tshuva, we can accept them. They can be part of our nation. Okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the whole idea was that they read the Torah, right, and that their special sofrim were able to get the Torah, and because of that they were destroyed because they had Yalam Lamova Lo Lamdu, doesn't mean that they could have become part of the Jewish people. It just means they could have done Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and we wouldn't have destroyed them. Right? They had a chance to not be destroyed, but not that they actually had a chance to become part of our nation. Whereas Rabbi Shimon seems to hold that if they did Shuvah, we would accept them. So as we would accept them as part of our people. So who could that possibly be? It can't be the Sheva Amim living in the land. It must be the people living outside the land. Okay, so they match this bright tap to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, now like I said, we're going to talk about how many miracles happened on that day. Bo ure'e kama nisim na'asu bo tohayom. Okay, number one, biggest miracle, right? Avru Yisrael et ha'yardin, right? The water splits. It's a pretty big miracle. Ubao lahar grizim lahar eval. Yeter mishishim mil. Okay, they got to Har Gerizim and Har Eval, which was a distance of more than 60 mil. Now, we've seen before that a mahalach yom echad, and like a day's walk, is 40 mil. So here they went, 60 mil, not only in one day, but all the more so. Yeah, what do you have here? It's a mil is 2,000 amot, or, right, also known, it's about 1,000 yards, okay, or 1,269 yards. Okay, so multiply that by 60. Okay, that's a far distance. Now, I don't know, you could do the math and figure out how long that is. In yards, I don't know. Yards isn't the best measurement.
60 meters or something.
60. What?
4 mil is 2.3 miles.
4 mil is 2.3 miles. So multiply that by, or 3 miles. Let's just take the 3 miles, the larger one. Okay, 4 mil is 3 miles times
38 miles.
Yeah, what do you have?
What, times 60 miles?
Well, it's 4, so not times 60. 60 divided by 4 times
15.
3.
15,
right, 15 times 3, 45 miles.
That's rather a lot to walk in one day for a lot of people.
Right. Yeah. Right, so that's the other thing. They were a ton of people. Think about it. They were women and children and, you know, families, and they were carrying their stuff with them. And forget about that. This isn't the only thing they did that day, right? In other words, first they crossed through the Yarden, and that obviously was some effort. Then they did this, and that wasn't their last stop either. So imagine, right, they were able to get to Har Gerizim and Har Eval, Yetum Shishimil, Ve'en kol b'riaya kol la'amo b'fnehem. Nobody stood in their way. V'chol ha'omei b'fnehem miyad nitraz. Okay, anyone who stood in their way, I actually wanted to check exactly the translation of this word. I saw it in the 1 second. You have it there? What is it?
Lost control of their bowels.
That's what I thought it was. Okay, fine. I wanted to make sure. Fine. So anyone who tried to stand in their way basically lost control of their bowels. Okay, made a big mess. Shene'emar, how do we know this? Et emati ashlach lefanecha, v'hamoti et kol ha'am asher tavo b'hem. Okay, I'm going to put the fear of them right before you. And everyone, the hamoti, they say that must be that they lost controls of their bowels. That's what they're translating here. Ve'omer, and here's another pasuk. It's unclear why they actually have to bring this other pasuk. Tipol alehem ematavafachad. Right, this is from Shirat Hayam. Right, the fear and the pacha will be upon them. Ad yavor amcha Hashem, zobi arishona. Ad yavor amzukanita, zobi ashnia. Okay, what does this mean? Why is there the duplication? Right, we always notice that ad yavor amcha Hashem, ad yavor amzukaniti. Right, from a poetic sense, right, it's just poetic. You know, you repeat things and you repeat it a little bit differently. But they want a darshanis. What do they say? The first time they went into the land, tipolem amatavafachat, right? It was this miraculous thing that all of a sudden everybody was scared of them. And the second one refers to the biashnia. What's the biashnia? The second time they came into the land with Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay, now what's the issue though? Is it similar? Is it parallel the way they came into the land with Ezra and Nehemiah? Not at all, right?
It wasn't that scary.
They came into the land of Ezra and Nehemiah. It wasn't scary at all. In fact, it was very difficult. And they only came because Koresh said they could come in, right? And there were all different hachrazot that allowed them, right? The non-Jewish kings had to say,
and everybody
yes,
was
you can
against
come in.
Them. They didn't
and everyone was against them, and they had to put up shomrim when they were building the choma, and they were building the walls. There was a lot of issues. So here we're going to see. And more me'ata, learn from here. Ru'uyin hayu Yisrael la'asot lehem nes b'biyashniya k'bi arishona. They should have had it. The ad yavor amzukaniti means, right, the second ad yavor means you should have had the ematav afachad, but what happened? Ela shagaram hachet. Okay, during Bayit Rishon, they weren't so well behaved, right? They were doing a lot of sins, and because of that, they lost that promise that was given, and so to speak. They were supposed to have that miraculous entry, and they didn't. Okay, that was, so now we have the Nes of the Yarden, then the Nes of the Kvitzat Derech, which is very similar, right, in the Midbar, right? They also had this Kvitzat Derech in the beginning. Then, right, so it's a very similar, right? And then also the fear of the other nations come upon them, right? It's a very similar pattern, which is maybe why they also want to compare it to the Biashnia. And as in theory, you would have thought that it should have been like that. And what the Gemara is trying to tell you is, well, something went wrong along the way. Okay. So then they took the avanim out of the Yarden, ubanu et hamizbeach, v'sadu b'sid, v'katvu aleihem et kol divrei haTorah b'shiv'im lashon, sh'ne'emar be'er hetev. Okay, imagine, right? Number one, to write the whole Torah, whether you say it's the whole Torah, part of the Torah, okay, but to be able to write that and write it in 70 languages all in one day, right? We must be later in the day by this point. It sounds like one of the days of Shemesh B'Givon Dom, right? You had to stop the sun to make this happen. Okay, we're not done. V'helu olotu shlamim, v'achlu v'shatu v'samchu. Okay, we didn't talk about, by the way, that they had to get to Gilgal, right? In other words, there was another, I don't know the distance exactly, but it wasn't right there. Okay, then they ate the olot and the shlamim, and they ate the sacrifices they brought, and they drank v'samchu, they were happy, u'barchu v'kililu. And now they did... We haven't, right? The brachot and the klalot. Okay? Right. They were still, sorry, here they must have still been in Har Ebal and Har Gerizim. Right? They didn't yet go to Gilgal. Right? They took the avanim, they brought them with them to Har Gerizim and Har Ebal. Then they did the zvachim there. Then they did the brachot and the klalot. V'kiplu et ha'avanim. There's a few different interpretations. Some people say that actually it's from l'kalech. It's like the dyslexic, right? Kalaf and kafal is, and they took off the seed. But it's a difficult interpretation because if they put the seed on, why would they now take it off? It doesn't make so much sense. Other people say it means that they folded them up. Okay, now you don't exactly fold up avanim, but what does it mean? Like when you fold up your stuff, you get ready to go. Like you're at a picnic, you fold up everything, and then you go. So they took the avanim, seems to me like a better interpretation, as they gathered them up together. Ubal v'lanu b'Gilgal, and then they went to Gilgal. Okay, sorry, I said it earlier, but obviously at this point only, they go to Gilgal and they slept there. So that was a whole day. Okay, if you're tired from your typical day, this is clearly a much busier day than our normal one. Shenemar v'havartem otam imachem v'inachtem otam b'malon. Now we're going to see a drasha we saw before. Right, what happened is Pasuk said you should take them with you and take them with and put them in the malon. So yachol b'chol malon u'malon. Maybe it means put them in all the places that you stop. Right, almost to make like footprints. You know, we were here, we were here, we were here. Okay, you might have thought that Talmud lamar asher talinu bo halayla. It says in the Pasuk, the place where you sleep tonight. Meaning the first stop, that's where it has to go in Gilgal. Okay. So now it says, Hekim Yoshua b'Gilgal. Okay, that's the end of the pasuk. So Yoshua puts them down in Gilgal. Okay, now we're going to discuss a side thing about this. Tana, a Braita now.
Yeah, this goes back to everything we learned on Shabbat about that whole machloket about where Mizumin is. Because of that.
Right, where the locations are.
This Braita clearly is not going according to Rav Elazar, which we had that whole debate about on Shabbat. Where
which issue about why?
Because this is clearly telling
was it
you
close to the border.
If it was not close to
the border. Oh, whether it was close to the border, right.
In its proximity to Gilgal and Shechem.
Right, right. And it's trying to say it was a far distance. Right. Yeah, very good. Okay, thank you for pointing that out. Right, so that this is different from the opinion that said that it was far away. They were trying to figure out where all these places are. Right. Exactly. Okay. Tana. Sir'at lo avra imahem. Okay, now here we have this thing about this hornet, okay? This is a type of hornet that was like a deadly hornet, and it was supposed to attack, it was supposed to help them conquer the land. It's a pasuk in Shmot, just trying to find here. In Shmot Kaf Gimel Kaf Chet it says, "Bishalachti et ha-tzira lefanecha, v'gersha t'achivi et k'nani et t'achiti milfanecha." Okay, God is saying, I'm going to help you by giving you this hornet that's going to basically go ahead and attack them. So now they're telling us that the Tzira'ah didn't go with them. So the Gemara says, right, now we're talking about the crossing of the Yarden. What went with them? The Tzira'ah didn't go with them. Okay, right, it sounds like a customs thing, right? They wouldn't let the bugs into the land. Okay, so now the Gemara says, what do you mean? Vilo? V'haktiv, doesn't it say like I just said in the Pasuk? V'shilachti et ha-tzira'ah lefanecha. I'm going to send the Tzira'ah before you to help you conquer. So how could it be it didn't come? So Amar Bishim ben Lakish, Asfart Yarden Amda, Vizarka behem mara v'simta inehem milamala v'serastan milamata. Shneamar v'anochi yishmadeti et amurim ipnehem asher kegova arazim gopo v'chasonu ka'alonim v'ashmi priyom imal v'shorashav mitachat. Okay, that's a pasuk from Amos. It's describing something that happened. That this is how I destroyed the Amorim with this tirah. And it doesn't say the word Sira in the Pasuk, but how did they get destroyed according to this? Piryo mimal v'sharashav mitachat. Okay, so they're saying that that's a reference to the fact that they couldn't see, they blinded them, and they couldn't have children. So what did they say? That Sira didn't cross in with them, but what did it do? It stood at the Yarden, at the Jordan River there on the banks of the Jordan, and it sprayed its deadly disease, its poison, into Eretz Israel. And that's how it conquered them. So it never actually crossed over, but it was obviously used. Okay, that's one interpretation. The second interpretation is Rav Papa Amar Shtei Tzirot Hava. There were two different ones. Chada de Moshe v'chada de Yoshua. Moshe used it when he fought in, I guess the truth is I didn't check exactly, I didn't remember exactly where this was. Maybe we could look it up now. But Moshe fought with this Tzira. I want to see if it appeared explicitly in the Pesukim or not. I didn't have a chance to look it up. What?
There's nothing in the order.
There's nothing in the notes here where it says. What? Mm-hmm. Moshe used it. Where was he? Right, he fought against the Tumachei Amori on the Eber HaYarden HaMizrachi, right? But where, what? I don't remember if it says it. Let's see. Does it quote any psukim here?
No, there's no psukim.
There's no psukim. I guess they learn it from that pasuk in Amos that says, "I destroyed the Emorim mipnehem." That it must be that they're saying that that was when it was used against the Tumachei Amori that Moshe fought against, and that it was used there, and that's the tzira. What?
Sichon.
Yeah, with Sichon. So, so it must be that they're saying that that's the one. That didn't, as it says, the Tzira didn't go with them, was the Tzira that Moshe used didn't cross with them, but there was a new Tzira. Okay, there was one of Yoshua. De Moshe lo avar, de Yoshua avar. Okay, there were two Tzira, one went and one didn't. Okay, why this is so important to discuss, I'm not exactly sure. Okay, now we're going to get to Shisha Shvatim alu l'rosh har grizim. Okay, remember six go up to har grizim, six go up to har eval, the Levi'im are in the middle with the Kohanim and with the Aaron. Okay. Now it says here in the Pasuk, okay, if you look in the Torah or Yoshua Chet, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says, V'chol Yisrael uzkeinavu shotrim v'shoftav, omdim mize umize la'aron, neged akwanim, halevim nosei aron brit Hashem, kager kezrak. Okay, here's the important part. Chetzio amul har grizim, and here, what would you think it would say now? V'chetzio amul hareva, right? But it doesn't say v'chetzio, it says v'hachetzio. And the other, right? The half. Okay? Half was, again, was opposite har grizim, and the half was mul hareva. So now we're going to try to darshan that. My v'hachetzio. Why does it say v'hachetzio and not just v'chetzio? Amarav kahana, k'derech shachalukim kan, kach chalukim ba'avnei ephod. They're saying, and that half must imply that it's some half that we know from somewhere else. So what are they going to tell us now? What's the ephod? The Kohen had two stones, one on each shoulder. They're called the Avnei Ephod. They had the Avnei Achoshen that was on the breastplate, the Kohen Gadol. And on his shoulders were these two stones. Okay, there's a picture here, although it was strange because the picture in the Koran doesn't show the names on it, which I thought was strange. But there's a picture here. Okay, they say these are the stones of the ephod. You can pass it around. Koran's always good with pictures of these things. So they're saying each one had six shvatim on it. So now the whole question is, and this is going to basically relate to the fact, if you look at the sheet I printed today, okay, there's lots of times where the 12 shvatim are mentioned, but the order of them changes from one to the other. So the question is, when we do six and six, which six and six are we going to do? So what do they say? Oh, well, since six are on one shoulder and six are on the other, so must be, if we had six on Har-Ebal and six on Har-Grizim, it must be it was those same six. So if you look in the psukim here, in the very parak of Zion that I quoted on the page, so Elam du l'varech adaham al Har-Grizim, okay, Barachem et Har-Yardin, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, Ubinyamin. Okay, not the typical six you would have stuck together, right? I mean, maybe, but it's strange. Reuven should be there, right? If you're talking about sons of Yaakov and, right, and Yisachar, maybe instead of Yisachar, right, he's a later one. I don't know. It's an interesting mix. And in Har-Ebal, it's Reuven, Gad, Va'asher, Zvulun, Dan, v'Naphtali. Okay? Now notice, here Yosef appears, and Levi appears. Now Levi and Yosef, in most of these lists, always interchangeable. Sometimes Levi is not in the list of 12. Okay, there's really more than, right, there's usually 13, because there's Ephraim and Menashe, right? So every time Ephraim and Menashe is mentioned, you're separate shvatim, somebody else isn't in the list. Sometimes it's Levi, because they don't get Nachala and stuff. Sometimes it's Shimon, because Shimon also lost Nachala. So there's some list where Shimon is out. Shimon didn't get his own Nachala. So he gets stuck in the Nachala of Yehuda. He doesn't get his own Nachala. So anyway, you'll see these lists are all, the order's a little different, and the, you know, who's in and who's out is also sometimes a little different. Okay, so that's how they say that setup is. So Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, Binyamin on one side, on the ephod, and on the other side is the Reuven, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dan, v'Naphtali. Meitiveh. Question from a braita. Shtei avanim tovot hayu lo l'kohen gadol aktefav, achat mikan v'achat mikan. Ushmot 12 shvatim katuv alehem. Okay, exactly what we said. He had these two things on his shoulders. Six on one, six on the other. But here we're going to see. Al Evan, shisha al Evan zo, v'shisha al Evan zo, sh'nemar, shisha mishmotam al Evan ha'achad, v'chulei. Shnia, okay, you have to read the whole pasuk here. So look at the pasuk inside. Shisha mishmotam al Evan ha'achad, v'et shmot ha'shisha ha'notarim al Evan ha'shenit, kitoldotam. What does kitoldotam sound like? The order of their birth, right? The birth order. So here they're going to say, "Shenemar shisham shmotam eleven achat shniya ketol dotam, velo rishona ketol dotam." Ah, notice how ala even hashenit ketol dotam. Only the second one goes in birth order, but on the first even, it's not in birth order. Why is that? Velo rishona ketol dotam mipnei sheYehuda mukdam. Okay? Yehuda comes first. In other words, really it's in the birth order, but we put Yehuda first. Okay? So it would be Yehuda, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar on one. And then on the other, right, did I say six?
You said Yehuda twice.
Oh, sorry. Yehuda, then Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yisachar.
Yes.
No. Zvulun. It would be in age order, right? Okay. And then you would get to the others, right, in their age order. Okay? So, and just that one would be out of order. The chamishim otiyot hayu, and altogether this is 50 letters. Okay, if you want to count, you can try counting and you'll see it's not exactly. Esrim v'chamesh, okay, the Gemara is going to talk about it. Esrim v'chamesh al evan zo, esrim v'chamesh al evan zo. Okay, and this worked out, 25 letters on one and 25 letters on the other. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer wasn't in that order, in age order, and it wasn't in some other order. Okay, we'll see right now. Lo kiderch shechalukim b'chumash ha'pgudim chalukim b'avnei ha'ifod. The way they were listed, what's chumash ha'pgudim? Bamidbar. Why is it that? Because Eile p'kudei b'nei Yisrael, they counted, right? It's the book of counting. Okay, so look at Bamidbar. I quoted you the Pesukimer. Eile shmot ha'neshim ha'shayam du itchem. Okay, l'ruvein, and the Litzorben Shteor, l'shimon. Okay, so if you look at the order, it's Ruvein Shimon, Yehuda, Yisachar, first of all, Levi is not here at all. Zvulun, okay, then Ephraim, Menashe, Binyamin, Dan, Asher, Gad, Naphtali. That's not age order. Okay, right? That's sons of Leah, sons of Rachel, right? Sons of Bilhah, sons of Zilpah. So, but now he says, it wasn't that order that was put on the ephod. Okay, basically this bright is pointing out all the different times they're ordered and how it comes out. Ela, kederach shechalukim b'chumash sheni. Okay, what's chumash sheni? Okay, some people say sheni means second. No, right, you might think that, but it's not. Sheni, no matter what, is shmot. The question is it sheni because it's sheni de breshit, like it's the conclusion of sefer breshit, or is it sheni because it was number two? Right, most of them say sheni really means it was just like the closure of breshit. And where is that? In the very first pasuk of sefer shmot. Ve'ele shmot b'nei Yisrael abim mitzrayma, et Yaakov ishu betobau. What does it say? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, v'Yuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, u'Binyamin, Gad v'Naphtali, Gad v'Asher. Okay? We're missing Yosef here. Did I not quote all the pasukim here? Oh, right. Yosef is there already. Yeah, right, obviously. In this list, Yosef is there already. So obviously we're going to have an issue according to this. So here he's going to say, Ketzad, B'nei Leah Kisidran. Okay, first it goes B'nei Leah. Then, B'nei Rachel, Echad Mikan ve'Echad Mikan. One on either side. Okay? U'B'nei Shfachot. Right, but why? B'nei Rachel, one second. B'nei Leah are already six. So how could we have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Be'Echad? Oh, right. That's what it means. Sorry. They're all on one side, the Leah. Okay, now we get to the second side, and here he says, Echad Mikan ve'Echad Mikan means at either end of the list. In other words, the first one's going to be, they're going to assume it's Binyamin, and the last one is Yosef. Why is he last here? Because he doesn't appear on the list, right? So they're going in the order of the Pasuk, Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, and Yosef goes at the end. Okay? U'b'nei Shvachot be'emza. Okay, so basically Binyamin and Yosef make a frame, you know, on that one. Binyamin starts it off, Yosef ends it. Ve'ela, mani mekayem kitoldotam. So what does it mean then kitoldotam? It's not age order. So they say, kishmotan shakara lehen avihen, ve'lo kishmot shakara lehen Moshe. What does that mean? Kitoldotam means the way they were born, not age order the way they were born, but the way they were named at their birth. And not the way sometimes Moshe refers to them. How is that? Reuven velo Reuveni, Shimon velo Shimoni, Dan velo Hadani, Gad velo Agadi, etc. Okay, so what do you see here? That there were ways that, right, Moshe called them Hashimoni, Haruveni, okay? He added this E to it. So they're saying that's not the way they were called from birth, and that's the way they were listed. So when it says Ketol Dotam, it means the way that Yaakov named them. Okay, if you notice in all these opinions, nobody has it split the way Hareval and Hargrizim were split. So they say, Tiyuvta to Rav Kahana Tiyuvta. Okay, that whole thing was to give us a few different opinions about how it was, but none of them match Rav Kahana. Okay, by the way, I saw somewhere that there's a Braita. Rav Kahana is an Emoran. He can't contradict a Braita. But I saw somewhere where they said that there's actually a Braita that matches Rav Kahana's opinion. Okay, the Gemara doesn't bring it, but it appears somewhere else. Okay, so now they say, ve'alamai v'hachetzio, so then how do they explain hachetzio, if it's not the chetzio? I think it's in the Yerushalmi I saw. In the Yerushalmi, they bring Rav Kahana and they bring a Braita. In other words, his opinion appears in the Yerushalmi, I believe, as the opinion. In the Bavli, it's totally rejected. Okay, which is interesting in terms of two different tefisot about what actually was written on the Eifo, right? You're talking about something that actually happened, not, you know, what's the halacha going to be, right? But it's what was actually written on them, and nobody clearly knows. Nobody saw them, right.
They sent a seder.
Right. So, remember, if you remember from Yoma, we always have, they tried to bring this Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, right, who was from the family of Kohanim, who had these misarot about what things were. Okay, so now they say, Tiyuvta, Drabkana, Tiyuvta. So it's a question. We don't have a good answer. So then, how do we explain b'hachetzio if it's not that chetzio? So Tana, here's a braita that shows what it is. Chetzio amul harigrizim rubam ichetzio shal harival. When it says b'hachetzio, okay, remember the hachetzio is on hachetzio amul harival. So the Gemara says hachetzio comes to tell you that the harigrizim side was greater than the harival side. Why is that? Mipnei she'Levi lamata. In other words, Levi was on, right? Levi was on the har, right? Levi was on the har grizim side, and therefore har grizim was bigger than harival, and that's why it says hachetzio, the other half.
It's not the opposite.
It should be the opposite. So that's exactly what they're going to say. So first of all, they say there's a few things that should be the opposite, and harival should be the greater one, and then they say adraba mipnei she'Levi lamata batzrei lehu, right? In other words, Harival should be greater. If Levi was, a lot of them were down at the bottom, well, then the other side, Harival should have been greater and not Hargrisim. So, Hachi Ka'amar. Af al pisha Levi Lamata, even though Levi was Lamata, B'nei Yosefi Mahem. They had the B'nei Yosef on their side. Now, why is that such a thing? Because, Shene'amar, V'yidabru B'nei Yosef et Yoshua Limor, Madua Natata Li Nechala Goral Echad, V'chevel Echad, V'ani Amrav. They said, we're such a mass amount of people. The B'nai Yosef were much larger than the other Shvatim. And therefore, so yes, they had Levi, who was fewer because they were down at the bottom, but they had Yosef, who was, you know, maybe double the size. So it more than compensated for the missing Levi. And therefore, they had more people on their side. Vayomar lehem Yoshua, here's the continuation of that pasuk. Im am ravata ale lecha haya'ara. Okay, if you're such a great, so many people, go to the Ya'ar. Okay, so now we're going to darshan. What is this Ya'ar, right? Why? To the Ya'ar. Amar lahem, right? Ya'ara is usually the forest. Amar lahem, lechu vehechab'u atzmechem beya'arim. Go hide yourselves in the forest. Why? Shelo tishlopachem ayin hara. Okay? Because if you're so great, right, that's always a concern for an ayin hara is going to come upon you. Don't say, oh, I'm so great. Don't brag about it. You should really hide yourselves. So now we're going to get into, okay, we're now veering off the track again. And since we're talking about, by the way, all our, if you notice, most of our sidetracks always get to znut and inappropriate relationships. So we're going to take this now, and we're all of a sudden talking about B'nai Yosef. We're going to take this to Yosef. We're going to get from here to Potiphar. Okay, Potiphar's wife. So, Amrule, Zer'edi Yosef, they said to him, the Zera of Yosef, Lo Shalta Be'enei Bisha. There is no such thing as Ayin Hara on B'nai Yosef. We're not worried about that. Okay? That is, Yeshua says to him, go to the Yar, which they say is a reference to go hide yourselves. Worry about the Ayin Hara. They say, oh, no. We're B'nai Yosef. We're protected from that. How do we know that? Dichtiv, Ben Parat Yosef, right? Where's this from? From the bracha of Yaakov to Yosef. Ben Parat Yosef, Ben Parat Ale Ayin. What is ale ayin? Amar Rabbi Avahu, alti kore ale ayin, ela ole ayin. Okay, it means they're olim al ha'ayin. They're, right, they overcome the ayin hara. Ayin hara doesn't get to them. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, amar mehacha. He says, no, we don't learn it from there. We learn it from this pasuk. Vayidgu laro bekerav ha'aretz. Why vayidgu laro bekerav ha'aretz? Ma dagim shabayam, mayim mechasin alehem, be'en ha'ayin sholet epahem. Okay, what about the digim? The water covers them and people can't see them, right? Af zarosha Yosef, ein ha'ayin sholet epahem, right? The ayin hara cannot get to them. They're like the digim, okay? Because his son's got a special bracha about they're going to be like the digim. So that's the way they're like the digim. Okay, close parentheses for right now, though, like I said, we're going to get back to Yosef. Now we want to talk about, remember I told you there's not exactly 50 letters, okay? Hani chamishim otiyot, they're 50 minus 1. By the way, we've seen this lots of times, like 40 makot is really 40 minus 1, or the 39 malacha, right, there are ba'im chaser achat. So here again, it's 50 minus 1. Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Yosef hosifu lo ot achat. Shene'amar, we've seen this before, edut bi hosef shmo b'tzeito al eretz Mitzrayim. Okay, you see in this pasuk, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, that you see the word Yosef appearing with a hey to it. Okay, Bihosif Shemo. So they're saying Yosef got a hay added to his name. So that adds it up to 25 on each side. Matkif la Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, kitoldotam b'inan. Didn't we say it's the way they were called at birth? Ella, so they say it's not Yosef who has the extra letter. Kol haTorah kula Binyamin k'tiv. V'hacha Binyamin shalem. Binyamin is written chaser in the Torah in most places. Okay, it's written bet nun yud mem nun, and not mem yud nun. Right, most people nowadays call Binyamin, but have a, I think would have a yud there. Here, Shoshana, you could tell us.
No, his Hebrew name is Abraham.
His Hebrew name is not Binyamin. Okay, sorry. Forget that. Anyway, I'm pretty sure. I'm trying to think if I would write it.
I remember it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's written with a yud.
I know.
Anyway, it's written with a yud. The hacha, and here Binyamin is written. When is hacha here? Kedichti ba'aviv kara lo Binyamin. Here you have it. When Yaakov called him, he called him Binyamin with a yud. Okay, so therefore, when they wrote it on the Avnei Choshen, they wrote it. I'm sorry, the Avnei Po, they wrote it exactly as Yaakov called him, Kir told Otam, with the yud, and that adds up to 50. Okay, we've solved the missing letter. I know you were very worried about it. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida. Yosef, now we're going to get to Yosef, okay? Yosef shekidei shem shamayim beseter, hosifu alav ot echad mishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we really got to Yosef from two kivunim. We got to him first because we were talking about his kids at Lo Shela Behem Ayin Hara. But now we're really getting into this because of this Yosef Shemo, right? That he got this hey added. So now, why did he get this hey added? Because he was Kidei Shem Shamayim Beseter. How is that? Because he overcame Esha Potiphar, and he did it secretly because nobody was there. It was just him and her. But Yehuda, Shekidei Shem Shamayim Beprehesya, Yehuda, who was Makadei Shem Shamayim in public, Nikra Kula Al Shmo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, where was he Kidei Shamayim in public? Okay? So, what would you think?
With Tamar,
because what did he say? He said in public, Sadkami Meni. We had a whole discussion about earlier about how he went out in public and he said Sadkami Meni. If you look at Rashi, and Rashi quotes this based on the Gemara further on, the Gemara is going to say that we were talking about Al Hayam. And when was that? Al Hayam, what did he do? Nachshon Ben Amin Avdav jumped into the water first. Okay? But it seems more likely from the context. And just because the Gemara says it doesn't mean that's the only way to understand this verse. So I wanted you to, this text. I wanted you to see that there's two possible interpretations, even though the Gemara is going to go with one. I think it's definitely possible that really they were talking about Tamar. So now, because he did it before Hesya in public, Nikra Kulo Al Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? His whole name, Yehuda, has all the letters of Hashem in it, right? Yud Kei Vav Kei are all in the name of Yehuda. Okay, so now they're going to say Yosef Maihi, and later we'll get to Yehuda, not today. Yosef Maihi, I think it's not today. Just lost my place. Okay, so what about Yosef? Dichtiv, Vayihi kahayom hazeh, vayavo habayta lasot melachto. Okay, so now here's a strange pasuk. Why is it strange? Okay, on that day he came to the house to do his work. Now, first of all, was he working for himself? No, he was working for Potiphar. It should be he was doing Potiphar's work, right? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan melamed sheshneim lidvar avera nitkavnu. So they're darshing the fact that he was going lasot melachto, meaning he had his own work to do, and he was actually considering. Okay, remember it says vayikidabro elav yom yom, right? She came every day. This day he decided, I'm just going to do it. Vayavo abayta lasot melachto. Rabbi Shmuel. So here are two ways of reading this melacha. How to darshen this? Chan amar lasot melachto mamash. One says no, he really was actually going to do his job, his work. Okay, he was going to do his thing with Esha Potiphar. Ve'ein ish man she'a bayit. Okay, that's another strange pasuk. What do you mean there was nobody home? Efshar bayit gadol kebeito shel oto rasha lo haya bo ish? What do you mean? This guy had a huge mansion, tons of workers, nobody was there? Tana debe Rabbi Yishmael, in the house of Rabbi Yishmael, they darshan. Oto hayom yom chagam haya. It was a holiday. V'alchu kulam lebeit avodat kochavim shelahem. There's also a famous midrash. Everybody went to worship Avodah Zarah. V'hi amra lahem chola. He amra lahem chola. He amra, right, okay, so it's he amra lahem chola. Okay, she said, I'm sick, I can't go. He amra, ein li yom shenizakek li Yosef kayom hazeh. There's no better day I'm going to get Yosef's attention than today. Okay, there's nobody home, everybody's out. This is the perfect opportunity. But titpaseu bibigdo lemor v'chulei, bota sha'a bata diukno shel aviv v'nirata lo b'chalon. Okay, so Yosef is about to go sleep with her, and he sees the diukan, the image of his father, like in the mirror, like he almost sees, what does it mean really? He looked at himself, and right, where do you see your own reflection? And he saw his father's face. אמר לו, יוסף, עתידין אחיך שיכתבו על אבני אפוד, ואתה ביניהם. In the future, all your brothers are going to be written on the Avnei Ephod, and you are going to be among them. Ritzoncha shimachesh shimcha mibeneihem? Do you want to be erased? For not have your name there? Because you're going to do this and wipe yourself out from everything? Batikra ro'ez zonot. And you'll be called the ro'ev zonot, basically. Dechtiv v'ro'ez zonot yi'abed hon. Okay, this is a pasuk from Mishlei. Okay, it says, those who go after zonot will lose all their wealth. Okay, what does it mean, right? It means you'll be a nobody. Okay? Miyad, batashav be'etan kashto. Okay, his keshet returned to his strength, meaning his private parts, you know, got back in order. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir, sheshava kashto le'etano, v'yafuzu zro'e yadav. Okay, we're going to explain this in a second. Na'atz yadav bekarka, v'yatz'a shechvat zaro mibein tzipornei yadav. Okay, in other words, so what happened? He was all, you know, it was all ready to come out. So it came out through, the semen came out through his fingers. Okay, a little bit of a strange image. Okay, we're going to see here, they're going to darshan this a little bit. The semen came out through 10 fingers, basically. Okay, keep that in your mind. Midei Abir Yaakov. Okay, this is, by the way, we're quoting Psukim, okay, from the Brachot of Yaakov and Vayichi. Okay, here's the whole Pasuk. Bateshe be'etan kashto v'yafozuz ro'e yadav, midei abir Yaakov, misham ro'e evin Yisrael, ro'e with an ayin, like a ro'etzum. So what does midei abir Yaakov? Mi garam lo shichakek al avnei efod, in other words, now they're darshaning, because of abir Yaakov, misham ro'e becomes the ro'e of evin Yisrael, the avnei efod. So what happens? It's because of Yaakov, ela abir Yaakov. Misham ro'e evin Yisrael, misham zacha v'nasa ro'e. Because of that, he had the zchut to become a ro'e. In other words, he almost wrote himself out of the history book. And because he saw this dukan of Yaakov, it was that brought him back. Shneema ro'e Yisrael ha'azina nohe katzon Yosef. So now there's a bride here, Tanya. Haya ro'e Yosef latzei mimenu yud bet shvatim k'derach sheyatzu miYaakov aviv. Okay, here's another thing. He was supposed to have 12 tribes come out of him. Shneemar, Eile Toldot Yaakov. Okay, this is a very strange reading of this pasuk. How does this pasuk go? You know it? From the very famous pasuk in Lamed Zayin, where everything starts going wrong. Yosef has his dreams. Eile Toldot Yaakov, and it says Yosef ben Shvasre Shana. Right? So they read it like this. Eile Toldot Yaakov Yosef. That Yosef's Toldot was supposed to be just like Yaakov's. Ela, Sheyatza Shechvat Zaromi Ben Sipornei Yadav. Okay, in other words, what happened? Mm-hmm. So because he had bad intents from the beginning, he lost his opportunity, and he lost, what did he lose? 10 potential sons. And he only had 2. Okay? Ba'av al-fichen yatz'umi binyamin achiv. Okay, but in the end, who had 10 sons? Binyamin had 10 sons. So they're saying he got the 12 altogether between him and Binyamin, but it wasn't all him. Right? He lost that. Right? It's always funny. We always talk about Yosef HaTzadik, but you see here, they're showing he wasn't perfect tzaddik. Okay, again, this is different approaches. V'kulan yikru al shmo, sh'ne'emar, all of B'nei Binyamin, now they're going to say, are called because of Yosef. Sh'ne'emar, u'B'nei Binyamin, Bela u'Becher v'Ashbal, v'chulei. Bela, sh'nivla b'en u'mot, he was swallowed up in the nations. U'Becher b'chur li'imo aya, right? This is all about Yosef. He was the b'chur to his mother. V'Eshbal sh'shva'o el, God put him into captivity, right, when he got taken to be a slave. Gera, shegar ba'achsaniyot. Okay, he lived in different people's houses. V'naaman, shena'im biyoter. Okay, he was very na'im. Achai, v'rosh achaihu. He was the head of his brothers. V'roshihu, and my head. Mupim v'chupim. Okay, mupim v'chupim were other sons. Mupim, it doesn't explain here. This is a bit of a question there. Chupim, hu lo ra'a b'chupati v'ani lo ra'iti b'chupato. Okay, we each weren't at each other's weddings. Ve'ard, she'yarab leben ha'umot ha'olam. Okay, went down into the umot ha'olam. Ika da'amre ve'ard, she'panav domim leverid. Okay, his face was like a verid, not yared, but from lashon verid. Okay, we'll stop here for today, and we'll pick up from here tomorrow.